May I speak to you in the name of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
The psalmist prays on our behalf. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. For there the Lord has ordained the blessing, life forevermore. This story of the Canaanite woman and her encounter with Jesus is troubling, to say the least. It's a story that makes even Canaanites look good. Doesn't say much for Jesus or his band of merry men. But I can't imagine a better story to guide us as we grapple with many of the disturbing events around the globe, and in fact, some closer to home. I mean, here in this story, we have a woman who needs help. And yet she is readily dismissed by Jesus because of her ethnicity, her race, her particular religion. Because she's not an Israelite, he'll have nothing to do with her. Now, before being too hard on Jesus, the cultural and social standards of that day excluded Canaanites from, well, everything. She doesn't really even count as a real person. And considering her no more than a dog, Jesus and his disciples deny this woman's humanity. Were it not for the fact that she was clever and bested Jesus in his own game, the story might be very different. Now, unfortunately, this is an all too familiar story. We don't have to go back 2,000 years to see examples of folk treating other folk this way. I mean, right now, not far away from where this incident occurred, we have Israelis and Palestinians embroiled, well, for the moment in Gaza, in a blood feud that has been based on race and religion for generations. And we need only go about 500 miles away from that location to the very cradle of civilization itself, where the great Tigris and Euphrates come together in a land once called Mesopotamia. It was the wellspring from which modern societies have emerged, where its people learned to tame the dry land and draw sustenance from it. For the most part, all you see there now are the treads of tanks and evidence of companies that pump oil from beneath the ancient soil. Much of that area lies in what we call present-day Iraq, where conflict between Sunni and Shiite rips at the very fabric of civility. But we don't have to stay over there. We can bring it on home a little bit, where the current political dialogue, were we to raise the squabble to such glorified status, and the despicable display of hatred toward other human beings is brought on by the influx of immigrants across the southwestern border of the U.S. And I know it's a complex matter that tests both the legal and ethical principles of the land, but there's little doubt that racial and ethnic prejudice factor into this modern-day drama of division and hatred. Which brings us to today's headlines. Ferguson, Missouri. And no matter all the specifics of what is clearly a matter still under investigation, it is all too clear that as much as we might wish it, race relations in this country are still very tenuous. There's one key dimension in our society's, every society's race struggles, and it involves the failure of people to hear and to believe the experiences of other people, particularly people of a different color. We are, there is no doubt, like many before us, a nation that has been built upon a color line. It's a line that is not often spoken of and doesn't need to be spoken of to know that it exists, but it is one that winds around the necks of people of color and ethnicity with distorted images and probable cause and diseased illegal aliens and the presumption of criminality that defunds our schools but builds plenty of prisons. Well, the lingering effects of the spiritual violence of races, of racial and economic justice, they're not new to us. It's something that we've had to face for a long time, or rather something that we've tried to avoid. I invoke the words of the Right Reverend Wayne Smith, the Episcopal Bishop of Missouri, who the other day called upon all Episcopalians, all people of faith, especially those whose race or culture gives innate privilege, to look at what has been laid bare before us and to pray about these things, to humbly learn from them and to yearn and to work for responses that would bring about justice. Now, it's so easy in times like this to cast one side, one person, one group of people as completely good and the other as completely evil. And we have to resist that at all costs. Because we are called to be ambassadors of Christ and ministers of reconciliation, and we have to stand with everyone, whether we like it or not. We have to call all of us to be those images of God that are our best selves. Our first reading this morning from Genesis reminds us that even though Joseph was sold into slavery and left for dead by his brothers, he forgives them and desires to be reconciled even with the likes of those people. The Canaanite woman, she struggles to be heard. Her story shows us what it looks like when someone's humanity is denied and what it sounds like when no one will listen. She flat out refused to accept Jesus' first response of exclusion. She pushed and she persisted until he relented. We too must take the time to listen, to reflect on these realities in our lives and how they play out in our society. We too, regardless of the context in which we live our lives, need to persist in calling for justice for all persons. Why? Because that's the long-term work of the church. That's why we exist. to build relationships of love and respect among all persons so that we can bring people together and we can say, let's listen and let's look at who God is calling us to be. The psalmist calls us in this prayer. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. For there the Lord has ordained the blessing, life forevermore. Amen.